Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend David Beauclair from SI.com. David, how are you? Thanks for joining us this morning.
I am good, gentlemen. How are you today?
We're great. Appreciate All right. you taking time to be with us. So, David, some awful news the other day that unfortunately – you had to be the one to break with Mark Howard passing away. I just kind of want to turn the floor over to you. I know you spent a lot of time working with Mark Howard. What did he mean to you, and what do you make of his life and career and his legacy here in Nashville?
Well, yeah, it wasn't just working with Mark. People might probably don't realize back in 2012, 2013, he and I were both townhouse shopping coincidentally at the same time, and we ended up as neighbors. He lives right across the street from me, his house, probably not 100 yards or so away. So that, unfortunately, that's how I got the news quickly is, I was on hand when the emergency vehicles arrived and whatnot. So, Mark was, I've talked about this, and when I was at the Nashville Post, we did an issue once a year, a special magazine called, The Power Issue, and it broke down. It was sort of a directory of listing names you need to know in all sorts of fields of industry throughout the city. And of course, I was responsible for putting together the sports list. And at one point, I had to argue to get him on there, but I got Mark on there, and I think he was the only media person, or one of only two or three maybe media people on there. But at the time, he was hosting the Wake Up Zone on another station here, and which had a depth and a reach that very few sports talk shows anywhere in the country had. He was on Titans Radio Network as the host of their post game show. He was on TV with the Predators doing pre and post game stuff with Terry Crisp. I mean, you think about it. There was absolutely nobody in this town who was more influential in terms of the discussion about pro sports in this town for several years there, because he was the first voice a lot of people heard every morning talking about this stuff. He was the first voice you heard immediately after the Titans game. He was the first voice you heard immediately after the Preds games. I don't think that can be overstated. And He was so influential. He was so like so many people listen to. I mean, I know, for example, I used to do a regular 1 hour weekly stint on that show, and I started in 2012. I think I was doing that. I'd been covering sports in this town for 14 years at that point. I had done Titans since 1997. I had done Preds from the very beginning. I had been involved in Vanderbilt. I mean, various fan bases around town. Everybody had opportunity to have been exposed to my work. I got a much bigger pop from being on Mark Howard's radio show. And Mark was, Mark was the one who got me into that. And I used the analogy the other day too. I said there was a sort of a Johnny Carson quality to him, in that he understood the power that his show had. The big story was always when Johnny Carson would have stand-up comics on the Tonight Show, if he waved them over and had them come sit down on the couch, that was sort of his endorsement that, hey, I think you're good and you should go somewhere in this business. Drew Carey tells the story when he did it. And he got called over like the next day. His phone was literally ringing off the hook. And there are other people in this town who can say the same thing that I do. That when Mark liked you and Mark thought you did a good job and Mark thought people needed to know about your work, he would get you onto that show regularly. And it was really gracious and kind of him to do so. He did it. He never announced that he was doing it. He never talked about it in terms of, I have this power and watch me wield it. It was just a very humble, very kind act on his part, I think.
Well, I mean, and Kaharsky, Kaharsky wrote a really good piece at his site, David. But it was interesting to me, and I didn't know that history. But I mean, he really gave him a ton of credit for you know, getting him and getting him going toward, of course, having his very successful show.
Yeah, I mean, I hear it to this day. I mean, I've been off that show for, 4 or 5 years now, and I still hear people tell me, I used to listen to you every Thursday morning, 7, 8 o'clock. I mean, it was incredible the amount of, and kind of, you know, kind of humbling in a way because, you know, here I thought I was, you know, I was doing the job I had always wanted to do growing up, and I was so pleased with myself and so proud, and you come to realize that, you know, I didn't have nearly the degree of impact I guess I maybe thought or maybe could have. And I look at it, there was a time in and it wasn't that long ago that the newspaper columnist was the primary voice for sports, you know, that people had to, you know, they would run to their newspapers every morning and say, I got to see what this guy is saying about this. And as the sports media landscape has changed, you know, the radio voices have become much more important. I think, you know, there's obviously all kinds of video content you can go to. That dynamic has sort of changed. And I really feel like, you know, Mark kind of became that guy. You know, in this town, you go all the way back, of course, to Fred Russell and up to the point of David Clymer and Joe Biddle and, you know, to Joe Rexroad, I guess, finally, you'd probably be the last one, Joe, that, you know, before this thing, you know, you were kind of caught in the transition. And I think this thing has changed fully now. But having said that, people probably don't even remember much when the Nashville City Paper started in the early 2000s. Mark would write a weekly column there, and I would read it, and it was really good. And I remember thinking, well, crap, you know, like if this guy ever wants to do this, he's going to take a spot that, you know, like I might like to have someday or whatever. But obviously he went, I don't think that's by accident either. Mark was, you know, he and I would talk all the time kind of about where the industry was going. And he had a really good handle on kind of, you know, what was what in the sports media landscape.
Very well said. David Beauclair from SI.com on with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. So, David, transitioning from that to the Titans this week, with training camp, I guess, technically beginning today on the field tomorrow, what are a couple of things that stand out to you that you're looking for heading into this week?
You know, obviously, and we've talked about it a lot this offseason with the offensive line and the cornerback and what are they going to do at wide receiver. I think one of the really more interesting things about training camp is how much work and with what personnel does Malik Willis get? Because this is the point where, you know, you're preparing for the season now. It's not just we're teaching these guys these things. You know, Ryan Tannehill has to get his work in with the wide receiver group. But are you gonna pull him out a rep or two, you know, a couple or three or four, whatever reps earlier than you normally would, and put Malik Willis in there to get him some work, or are you gonna treat Malik Willis specifically like the third team quarterback, and you know he'll be doing some teamwork with the rookies only in some extra periods and that sort of thing. I think that's gonna be really, really fascinating, and I want to see if they take a different approach with Derrick Henry this year. You know, they were so concerned about his, you know, his workload from the previous two seasons last year, and he did so little during training camp, and I don't think that's why he got hurt. I think it was more a wear and tear thing, but the fact that he did have 9 weeks of rehab without game, or 10 weeks of rehab without games last year, and then just the one game against Cincinnati. There should be a feeling that, okay, he's fresher. He's a different sort of back this year. You know, do they feel like they need to get him more work in training camp and maybe even a little bit in the preseason this year? I think that's going to be worth watching too.
How about a couple names, David, of people you think we may be talking about during camp that we aren't now or haven't done much of so far?
You know, there's this big group of defensive linemen, Joe, and veteran defensive linemen, you know, from Deshaun Hand to DeMarcus Walker to Kevin Strong, and I think somebody from that group is going to stand out, and the guy you're probably going to be talking about about is Laurell Murchison. I think Laurell Murchison, you know, going into his third year here, is on notice that he is going to have a, you know, he's going to have a really good camp. It's not going to be enough for him anymore to have been a draft pick and a guy that they see potential in. He's going to have to really play right now. And among the rookies too, I think based on what I saw in the offseason, Theo Jackson is one, I think, you know, because there's a lot of things that go on in training camp that the average eye doesn't see or recognize. You know, it shows up very much to a coach's eye, and certainly when they're reviewing the practice film and whatnot. But everybody knows when a guy intercepts a pass, right? And Theo Jackson seems to me like a guy who's going to get he's going to get a few picks during camp, and he's going to have people talking. And I think he's a guy that coaches are going to be looking at by the time the season rolls around, like, okay, what can we do with this guy from a scheme standpoint in terms of some personnel packages and some unique matchups and whatnot? Because I was real impressed with what I saw of him during the offseason.
David Beauclair from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. David, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, boys.
Absolutely. David Beauclair, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll get back into the quarterback tier list and look at tier one. Do we agree with the quarterbacks listed in tier one yesterday by Mike Sando? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to David Beauclair from SI.com for joining us in the last segment. We'll have Teresa Walker coming up for the entire 8 o'clock hour joining us in studio. So looking forward to that to preview Titans training camp coming up this week. Right now, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, the highly anticipated quarterback tier, I guess list is the right word to call it, that Mike Sando puts together every year, came out yesterday, and Sando does extensive work on this. There's 50 NFL coaches and executives that have basically come up with this list. So it's not like it's Sando sitting in, you know, a work closet somewhere just making his own quarterback list. This is from people around the league.
I mean, it's not as effective as, you know, the dorks at Madden who, you know, rate players, but, you know, it's similar.
Yeah, it's similar
quality.
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
Madden's a little bit above.
You can only hope to get to Madden's level at some point. So,
or Jared.
Every year, you know, we kind of look through the different tiers. You brought this up yesterday. One of the more underrated parts about this year's tier list is that they created a special tier for Geno Smith and Geno Smith alone.
Gosh.
As a tier 5 quarterback. Sorry, buddy.
Tier 73, Geno Smith.
Here is Geno Smith. So the tier 1 quarterbacks that have been included in this list. I always look at these because it's interesting to me who is included as a tier 1 quarterback and who is not. So there are the obvious candidates that – you can just pretty much get out of the way every year. Aaron Rodgers, a tier one quarterback. Mahomes, obviously. Tom Brady, still at age 64, a tier one quarterback out there. Josh Allen, a tier one quarterback. I think everybody with those four is probably like, yeah, okay. We can see how they are tier one quarterbacks. I mean, I guess you could argue Brady at age 45, but he led the league in passing last year. So there's that.
Yeah.
So I don't have any problem with him being a tier one quarterback. There have been two young guns introduced to the tier one club this year, and those are two guys that we've talked a lot about. They were drafted together in the same class, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. Now, Burrow to me is a lock. I mean, the guy was unbelievable last year, and obviously he took the Cincinnati Bengals to the Super Bowl. So Joe Burrow, I think before too long, is probably going to be, if not the best quarterback in the NFL, one of the best two or three quarterbacks in the NFL. Do you think Justin Herbert has done enough yet to be a tier one quarterback in the National Football League? You know, he's put up great numbers.
No, but see, that's a key here. The way you said it is key.
Yep.
Has he done enough? I mean, this isn't an achievement evaluation.
It is not.
It's what they think you are. And you read the quote here. Offensive coach says, man, I was so impressed with him live. He has a chance to do something special. The best pure thrower of the three young guys, talking Herbert, Allen, and Burrow. I didn't realize he was that athletic. Then later he says, the competitive spirit, the athletic ability, I saw a freaking stud in our game. And I think that's basically the consensus on him, is that he is so talented, so gifted, and he has demonstrated the competitiveness and all the intangibles that you want. Hasn't won. Now, you could also look at other factors for some of the losses the Chargers have suffered that would not involve Justin Herbert being blamed for it. So,
are you going to go for two here? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Now, we'll go for on 4th and 17 from our own 3. Why not? the analytics say so. No, I think he's that quality, but I'm kind of with you. Like, it just doesn't sit right. It's like, okay, just – put him in the top of tier two.
Well, it certainly doesn't sit right that he's ahead of Burrow to me in this. He's at 5, Burrow's at 6.
Yeah, and again, I think that's – but some of these things like this, and it's interesting because even within this group of people, you probably have very different ideas of what matters.
Right.
When you have – I think most people would agree – although I would agree with you. I think Burrow's better. I would take Burrow. I think the intangibles with Burrow are so off the charts, I'd take him. But in terms of the physical ability and the physical talent, yes. Justin Herbert is, that guy. It's interesting because, although it's a little different because he's more athletic, but like Matthew Stafford, for example, tier two, kind of interesting. He got 18 tier one votes,
yep.
But he's still not tier one. I think with Matthew Stafford, now he has had the achievement, and I still think his arm talent is right there with anybody on this list. But with Herbert is sort of like the – there's been other examples of Justin Herbert's just the even like Mahomes really early, but of course he quickly realized that and was great once he got the chance to start. But it's like the – he's the flavor, not the flavor of the month. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's so intrigued and fascinated with Justin Herbert.
Well, I mean, some of the comments in here, like Herbert, there was an executive out there or one voter out there that said he's a bigger version of Aaron Rodgers. And then you go down to Joe Burrow. Burrow's a young Tom Brady. It's like, good Lord, guys, going straight to Brady and Rodgers. I mean,
sure. They
very well could be dead on. It's just those two guys are viewed very highly. Like, we talked about this quarterback class with Malik Willis and how it could be the worst quarterback class that we've seen in a long time. Like, you could have a chance to look back on this Burrow-Herbert class of, man, what a quarterback class that was with those two.
Yeah, you could. And, one or both may not live up to that. And, health is always such a big part of that discussion. But I'm with you that right now, just based on what he did and almost winning it all with no offensive line in front of him, I understand he had tremendous talent on the outside, but Burrow has been able to overcome some things that Herbert hasn't yet.
I was interested to see where Russell Wilson ended up on this list because there's been such a big deal made about him going from Seattle to Denver. He's been a tier one quarterback before. I think back to 2020 and 2021, he was pretty high in this discussion of tier one quarterbacks. He's at tier two at number 8. I just wonder, like, as the injury problems and Seattle's offensive line the last couple of years not been very good, like, how do people viewed Russell Wilson hanging here, and tier two is about where I thought he would end up. Were you surprised that he was tier two? Do you think Russell Wilson would still be in the tier one group?
No, I'm not that surprised. And again, he's number eight,
right?
So it's not like it's, you know, he's ranked eighth, and I think that's about right. I think it's fair to have Stafford ahead of him based on what Stafford demonstrated last year, and with Russell Wilson struggling and being banged up and things like that. This is interesting, you know, the way Sando writes it is, you know, how much are the Lions holding back Stafford? A lot. How much did Brady need Belichick? Not as much. So this is Russell Wilson's turn to answer a question like that. So here's one GM said about him, quote, "The difference with Russell is he's a lot more high maintenance. He's got the entourage, he needs the office at the facility, the extra hotel rooms on the road, all that stuff. It will be interesting how that dynamic works with a rookie head coach and rookie offense coordinator, how they gel." So either that's Seattle's GM or that's someone that the Seattle GM complains to, apparently, yeah, about Russell Wilson. But that stuff, the extra hotel rooms, okay. You're telling me, like, Tom Brady's never, you know, like, come on. I mean, some of this stuff.
Rented out the whole floor?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't see how that stuff matters. I mean, Russell Wilson has demonstrated he's a winner, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why does that matter in this stuff? You know, now, is he going to be good enough? I don't know. I'm fascinated. I think he's one of the most interesting stories of the whole NFL season.
Well, speaking of fascinating, Deshaun Watson at number nine, and somebody summed this up, says, quote, "A tier one distraction is what Watson is. It blows me away paying the all-time NFL contract for a tier two player." This was the description of Deshaun Watson, who also apparently in this competition got a vote for tier five as well.
Well, how the heck do you even judge him on this one? I mean, I would.
He hasn't played.
Well, right. I mean, but so here's a D coordinator. I would agree with this. Like, I know he is all, in parentheses, screwed up.
Yes.
Sando, unlike me, does not like to write the F word in print, a defensive coordinator said. I mean, I'm just rating him as a football. He says, I know he is all screwed up, but he is a one. I mean, I'm just rating him as a football player. He's a one. He's legit. You can put the game on him. They were bad in losing to Houston, but it wasn't because of him. I mean, I agree. Talent-wise, he's a tier one player. Everything else, he's tier 93. Like, it's almost like you should have just excluded him from this, but it is, I'm glad he didn't, because it's just interesting to see where he would come in. So you got some people who voted him really high and a few who put him down because of all this stuff. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Speaking of quarterbacks and weird, there was an interesting clause in Kyler Murray's contract that came out yesterday that has me shaking my head as to what the Arizona Cardinals are doing. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Looking forward to that. Right now, I got some tickets to give away to see Jamie Johnson coming up at First Bank Amphitheater on Thursday, August 25th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Jamie Johnson at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on Thursday, August 25th, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, there was a pretty incredible clause in Kyler Murray's contract that was put out there yesterday. I think Ian Rappaport was the first person that I saw put this out there. And, you know, Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray signs this huge deal, $230.5 million, $160 of which is fully guaranteed. And, you know, we talked about the contract itself last week and what that means for Kyler Murray and the Cardinals moving forward. Well, there is an addendum in the contract that requires 4 hours of, quote, independent study per game week. So apparently it was important to the Cardinals to put this in the contract so that Kyler Murray would make sure that he knows he's required to have 4 hours of independent study per game week to get ready for the game that upcoming week, which has a lot of people just looking around and scratching their heads of, so let me get this straight. You have to include in the clause of your contract that your quarterback has to watch 4 hours of independent game study per week to get ready for the game? Has he not been doing that? Like, what is the deal with Kyler Murray? This is an unbelievable development to me. I've never seen anything like this in the history of pro sports.
Yeah, maybe it's been in some other contracts, but someone didn't feel compelled to make that public. I'd be surprised. Well, I suppose it's possible. I mean, there's weird stuff in contracts.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird, but so reading the ESPN story by Josh Weinfuss, who covers the Cardinals. The addendum also states Murray will not get credit if he's not studying or watching the material while it plays on his tablet, or if he's doing something that can distract him or draw his attention elsewhere while the material is playing, such as playing video games, watching TV, or browsing the internet.
That sounds like a 14-year-old.
Yes. Continue reading this ESPN story. Failure to meet the addendum's requirements will mean Murray will be deemed to be in default of his contract per the wording in the agreement. It kicks in this season and lasts through 2028, which is when the Cardinals can pick up a club option. I have a lot of questions. One, what the hell? and you're totally right. Like, it's like he's a child, but I will say, this could be another rant, by the way.
Oh, boy.
You know, when we, as a family, even like watch like a TV show or a movie anymore, it's like, everyone's on their phone.
Yeah.
Like it's.
Oh, it's a big problem in today's society.
And so maybe this is going to suddenly become like this typical thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe they'll have to take his phone away too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Put it in the box.
Yeah, exactly. You're grounded without your phone. But I mean, ultimately, we're talking about incredible sums of money to play a game, and the fact that you would have to do something like this to get someone to lock in and maximize what they can do in a football game that they're getting paid millions to play in. If I felt it necessary when I'm drawing up that contract, then I'm not giving that money to the person in question.
It's really weird. Like there's a lot of questions that I have about this, but there are two really that stand out to me. Number one is what you just threw out there. If you're the Cardinals and you're that worried about Kyler Murray's, I guess, work ethic and preparation, why are you giving him $230.5 million, $160 million of which is guaranteed? Like, that makes no sense to me. And the other part of this that I guess is somewhat funny, but I'm also serious about it. Like, who is in charge of monitoring Kyler Murray's independent study? Like, is somebody walking into Cliff Kingsbury's office on Saturday night and being like, hey, man, just so you know, in terms of the credit that he's received this week, he spent an hour of it playing video games while he was trying to watch film. So he's only watched about 2 hours and 20 minutes of film of independent study this week, just so you know that, heading into this big divisional matchup against L.A. Like, who is in charge of monitoring Kyler Murray's compliance with this part of his contract?
Like, we have Phone Finder with our kids' phones, so we can always say, oh, okay, he's here at this friend's house right now or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess, can you like spyware so that it's completely Big Brother is watching?
You can also have an app where your parents can lock your phone.
Yeah.
You need to tell me more about this during the break. I'm not kidding. Dennis.
I must learn more.
Yes, this is very intriguing to me. Dennis points out, the crazy thing is 4 hours isn't a lot. What was he doing? I mean, I agree.
Does he not
four
watch film?
4 hours? My understanding, and again, it's different people do different things, but I bet you Kevin Byard in a given week, like 4 hours is like Monday, like a long lunch as he starts to look at the opponent. Like, and maybe I'm exaggerating, but I mean, that doesn't sound like a ton at all.
For a quarterback.
Right, for a quarterback. I mean, this is a big
it's
part of
it. It's not like it's Jeffrey Simmons out there watching film. At the end of the day, it's like, okay, I'm just going to blow up the middle of this line. That'd be great. A quarterback. Like, there's a lot of information you got to process out there, man.
I mean, it's like, I don't even know how you can – I guess if this is really that big of a problem, I guess you could look at it like that's how talented he is.
Yeah.
But, my goodness. I mean, I go back to the Titans game. Sure looked to me like Kyler Murray was carving them up and kind of knew what was going on out there. Maybe it was the first game of the year, so he, He put in 5 hours
that one. He has also said before, and somebody's pointed this out on the text line, like apparently he's been – I guess somebody asked him about watching film one time, and his response was basically like, yeah, I'm just – the way I'm wired, I don't need to watch a whole lot of game film. Like I just – for lack of a better word, he was like, this is how smart I am. I don't really need to do that.
See, I don't want to sound like a total boomer here, but let's just come on, man. Like, there's no way. Like, there's no way that you're gonna get the most out of yourself if that's the case. So I don't know if this is real or not. At Rose City Peach has a chart. This is someone on the text line put this on here. Has a chart that shows his fantasy points and how they declined every year when the annual Call of Duty game is released. Oh, I mean, I hope
COD's out. Got to go in there and play.
If that stat is real, I love whoever did the research on that.
I'm going to need to follow Rose City Peach.
Hey, I will say, that's pretty amazing. You get locked into a nice Call of Duty game, it's hard to focus on anything else. It's where your mind goes.
Just fake killing people left and right. Yeah. Does it count if he's playing Madden? Yeah. Well, Jared says yes. If he plays Madden and plays really well during a given week, then he's probably going to perform excellent on Sunday.
I just really want to know who's responsible for monitoring this. Like, who is following Kyler Murray around? Like, oh, okay, he's on the film. Phone's not in sight. There's no Xbox on over there. Looks like he's engaged. Okay. It's been 22 minutes. Log it down. Put it in the logbook.
It's incredible. And also, who wanted this out?
That's a great question.
I mean, Ian Rappaport reported it, and Ian Rappaport's tweet was kind of like, well, here's a little fun thing, everybody. You know, contracts are about give and take.
Yeah. I don't know why there's always got to be, like, some commentary leading into it from him and Schefter.
Hey, see, this is kind of interesting. But meanwhile, someone wanted this out there, and I'm trying to understand who this would benefit because it doesn't make him look good. And it does not make the Cardinals look good.
Well, there's a text on the text line that says, I think this is genius by the Cardinals. It gives them a way to get out of that deal. Maybe they're playing the long game.
Well, okay, that's fine. It's in the contract. But in the meantime now, they get to answer questions about why they gave the contract when they had to put this addendum in the contract. Like, so putting it out there makes this fodder for us and everyone else. And how is that good for you?
If I was covering the Cardinals, I would be the guy, like, every Friday to Cliff Kingsbury, like, hey, how much time's he logged this week? Where's Kyler Murray at on the timesheet? 3 hours, 22 minutes? Is he close to four? Like, what's happened here?
Come on, Kyler. Okay, Kyler, can you name their starting cornerbacks? Let's do a little quiz. It's crazy. So someone put up this Pro Football Focus piece about this. Here's the quote, which is, he said it to 98.7 Arizona Sports. Quote, I think I was blessed with the cognitive skills. Just go out there and just see it before it happens.
Yeah.
Not one of those guys that's going to sit there and kill myself watching film. I don't sit there for 24 hours to break down this team and that team and watch every game because in my head I see so much. Well, you're not asking for 24, Kyler. They're asking
five.
For four.
Just get a little bit over four. Good gracious.
And this is going to be – I mean, it's worse for him because it's going to be like every time he throws an incompletion out. Well, guess maybe you should have saw that they sometimes run cover too, Kyler. I mean, it's just
he throws like a brutal pick. It's like, oh well,
yeah.
Guess you didn't see that look.
Yeah, they have 11 guys on their team, not 10, Kyler.
I've never seen anything like this. I'm not saying it's not happened, but I have never in my life seeing a professional sports team include in the contract, hey man, there's a very minimum requirement of
that
film
you must watch. That you must do basic parts of your job.
Yes.
Like I've seen, you cannot ride a moped.
Yeah. Or,
like you can't play pickup basketball. Yeah. I mean, but this is wild. Yeah. But I do wonder because I swear, boomer talking here. All anybody ever wants to do is look at their phones, play video games. Get outside and play, kids, and watch film.
Is this going to be a new thing moving forward with all these quarterbacks coming up? Like, are you going to have to put this new addendum in every team's contract of get off your phone, go in the film room.
Maybe.
Pick up the iPad.
You know, we've been joking about Madden a lot today. But maybe someone needs to develop like a video game to fool future quarterbacks into thinking they're just playing a video game, but they're actually preparing for their real game.
Maybe so.
This could be
some virtual reality.
I like that idea.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
Solving
with
the world's problems.
Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Looking forward to that. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Gonna get to you, girl. Step by step.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. You can catch it every morning at 7:45.
See, I mentioned my little brother. If my little sister could, she'd be rocking right now.
I'm and rocking.
And Cot B, yes. This transcends generations.
Yeah.
It's all those boy bands.
And Cot B, baby.
Great stuff.
The OGs.
Joe Rexroad, I turn it over to you for your rant of the day.
All right, let's go back to the quarterback tiers.
Okay.
And I know that this has been ratioed a ton, so I kind of feel like I'm late to the party, but that's okay. Here's what a defensive coordinator said to Mike Sando about Lamar Jackson, who was tier two and ranked number 10. Quote, "If he has to pass to win the game, they ain't winning the game. He's so unique as an athlete, and he's really a good football player, but I don't care if he wins." Don't, in parentheses, care. So I guess I don't give a bleep. Sando, yeah. Embrace profanity. I don't care. I love profanity in The Athletic. They let us do it, dude. Let's do it. I don't care if he wins the league. Let me go back to the beginning of the quote because I just lost my
you
mind.
You just totally lost it.
Quote. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the quote. Quote. "If he has to pass to win the game, they ain't winning the game. He's so unique as an athlete, and he's really a good football player, but I don't give a bleep if he wins a league MVP 12 times. I don't think he'll ever be a one as a quarterback. He'll be a one as a football player, but not as a quarterback. So many games come down to 2 minutes, and that is why they have a hard time advancing, even when they're good on defense. Playoffs are tight. You have to be able to throw the ball, and he's just so inconsistent throwing the ball, it is hit or miss," end quote. So now Sando does back that up with some stats here, okay? So the Ravens are 1-3 in the postseason with Jackson starting. Of course, the win was
the one
here. Jackson's averaged 6.6 per attempt with 4 touchdowns, 7 turnovers in those games during the same span. The players in Tier 1, the players that right now are in Tier 1, are 24-12 with 7.7 per attempt, 79 touchdowns, 24 turnovers. Combined playoff passer rating 997 compared to 68.3 for Jackson. So I think anyone could agree that Lamar Jackson isn't perfect and has not been a perfect passer and is a different kind of player. I would agree with that. But this, I don't give a bleep if he wins the league MVP 12 times. I don't think he'll ever be a one as a quarterback. What if he wins a Super Bowl? Like,
right.
There's just no, because he doesn't fit your little mold of, oh, this is a quarterback and what a quarterback look like. Like, he can't possibly be a top-tier quarterback. I mean, he was the MVP for a reason. And I know that we ratioed Warren Sharp last weekend. Frankly, I think he deserved it. But I'm going to cite some Warren Sharp right now because he angrily reacted to this. And I was like, yes, keep it going. Keep it going, Warren. Come on.
Come on.
Let's see. Lamar Jackson's early down passing outside the numbers. Last year, number one in yards per attempt, 9.2. Number one in success rate, 57%. Number one in EPA, that's expected points added per attempt, plus 0.33. He averaged 9.4 air yards per attempt. That's fifth highest in the league. He was also blitzed fifth highest, 32% of the time. And there's a lot of other things about this. Lamar Jackson's never going to fit the exact mold. But, I mean, I'll go back to the Titans game when the Titans beat him when he was MVP, when they were the one seed. You know, Lamar Jackson had a pass tipped that was picked by Kevin Byard. The Titans stuffed them twice on 4th-and-1. Terrific, I think, defense from the Titans. They played terrific assignment football. It was a Dean Pease masterpiece. And they did a good job of defending Lamar Jackson. It was still somewhat a game because he threw well in that game. And, in fact, if you go back to the end of the first half, he was about as good in a 2-minute drill as you could possibly be in a playoff game that he lost and that people said, oh, he'll never win a playoff game, blah, 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 blah. Dude, Lamar Jackson, I don't know where it's going to go from here. You know, I don't know if he's going to keep advancing, if he's going to win a Super Bowl, if he's going to win another MVP. I do know he's never going to be exactly in the traditional quarterback box, but some of this stuff is just, give me a break. And I don't understand it other than you can't wrap your head around new kinds of players in the game evolving. I can't figure anything else out.
Well, look, the passing stats that Sando threw out there, I mean, it's tough to argue with what he's put out there in the playoffs. Like, he's got to be better in the playoffs. I don't think there's any question about that. The part I have a problem with is what you brought up. Well, I don't care if he's league MVP 12 times. Like, really? Like, that would not factor into how you view him at all if he won the league MVP?
Like, he can't 12 times? And he can't possibly improve.
Yeah.
He can't possibly improve. He's not a one. Not that, like, being tier one, I love this piece by Sando, but like being tier one is some sort of like that's not going to be on your like gold jacket ceremony, you know. But
well, the other part of this that I think people forget about, because we've been talking about Lamar Jackson for so long, the guy just turned 25.
Thank you.
He's 25 years old. Like, he's just now, you know, kind of getting into the athletic prime of his career. Now, it's a little bit different in the NFL. I realize that he's not going to be able to, I don't think, run around forever the same way that he does right now. Because athleticism, I mean, he's just in a league full of freakish athletes. He's even a different level there. So I get all that. He's not always going to have that, but the guy is an exceptional, exceptional football player. He's a really good quarterback. And, you know, going along with this discussion, that's what makes the next contract for him so interesting. Number one, he's representing himself, and I don't know that I'd be advising that for Lamar Jackson heading in this, but we'll see what happens on that front. But where exactly does he slot in? So you've got the fully guaranteed money of Deshaun Watson, who everybody wants to act like is an outlier. But if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm like, yeah, forget that, man. I'm a league MVP. He's not. I want a playoff game. I think he's got one in there, too. By the way, I'm available every game, and I'm not suspended for an entire year or whatever the number is going to end up being for Deshaun Watson. Like, I'm interested to see how the contract part of this plays out for him too, because I think there is some of that viewpoint out there. And if he's representing himself, what exactly does the structure of this next deal look like for him? I'm interested to see.
You know, on the playoff thing, absolutely, those numbers are what they are. Let's also remember that his first playoff game, which was January of 19, in that 18 season, he eventually overtook Flacco, and they changed the offense.
Elite.
And it was what's that?
Joe Flacco was elite.
Yes, of course he was. And, you know, so in that game, Lamar Jackson's 14-29. He's less than 50%, 194 yards. Like, you know, he got sacked seven times. The Chargers had a great game plan. He wasn't ready for it. You know, that in that playoff game against the Titans, not like 31-59 is great, a lot of incompletions, but he threw for 365 and a touchdown. And against the Titans in the win here, 17-24, 71%. He had the biggest play of the game was his run.
Yeah.
Okay, well, again, great quarterbacks who run the ball. I mean, John Elway wouldn't have Super Bowl rings if that wasn't a huge part of his game. Steve Young, on and on and on. Down. I mean, you know, it's a part of playing the game. And then he was 14-24, 162 in the loss to Buffalo. He threw the devastating pick at the goal line. No arguments. You know, you got to be better. You can't do that in that situation. If he doesn't do that in that situation, I think there's a good chance they win that game against a great defensive team on the road. So that's it. That's the entirety of his playoff history. I think it's way too early to draw conclusions that he can't get it done in the playoffs. And there's actually a lot of examples of him playing well in the playoffs. Take away their first game, and the overall numbers look a lot better.
615-737-1025. William on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Joe Milton has a better chance of winning the Super Bowl than Lamar Jackson does. I don't know if William really loves Joe Milton like you do, or is not a big Lamar Jackson guy. We got to mute.
He trolled me so well that I muted myself. That's good trolling. One way or another, whatever you think. And Viking Matt says, oh, dear God, Joe, breathe, man, breathe. Was I like, oh, my God, I'm talking, I can't talk. I was like doing like an auctioneer in this one. At least I got a little bit fired up.
It's really interesting to see how the league views him right now, because, look, I think he is good enough. I think he's good enough to win. The guy, first off, I think he's gotten a lot better since he came in the league throwing the football. I mean, I think there's been pretty obvious improvement in that area. Now, does he have enough wide receivers? I mean, that's the question. Like, I would not put him in the category of like a Rodgers or a Brady where you can just take any wide receiving core out there and they're going to be good.
No, he's never going to be – well, look, like there are other quarterbacks. Like, if you want to say, okay, I want someone who can hit you on that out cut and on that slant route and the post, like, all the – like, accuracy over and over and over again, exactly the same. I mean, I'll take Kirk Cousins over Lamar Jackson, but I won't take Kirk Cousins over Lamar Jackson as a quarterback. I mean, he's always been a big thrower of the football, big play guy. I think he's gotten much better at taking the layups and the gimmies and being consistently accurate on that stuff. He's never going to be, Brady, Rodgers, but I would doubt him right now at your own peril, and I would pay him.
Well, and to that point, I think you're going to see a pretty big bounce back year from the Ravens this year, but we'll see what happens on that front. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. She'll join us in studio for the next hour, looking ahead to the Titans and training camp beginning this week. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.